Holy Spirit. Out of love, God created the heavens and the earth. And out of love, he created man in his own image and likeness. And he created him so that he could be a mediator of the uncreated energies of the Godhead, and that the light of God could shine through his mind and his heart, and it should spread upon the created order. And it says in Genesis that man had dominion all over all living things. And that dominion was, as we have said again and again, but must remember constantly, that dominion was man, that man laid all care upon God. And then the light of God shined upon his heart and his mind and radiated out over the created order and established it in divine love and in light and in goodness and in peace and in tranquility. We also know that we have a fall. And the fall, of course, was disobedience from God. It was man taking into his own will his own destiny according to pride. And of course, as a result of the fall, the governing principle of the Godhead that dwelt in Adam withdrew. And here Adam exhibited his most base passions and leading immediately to murder and to greed and to pride and to all kinds of difficulties. And so the human race has this difficulty. Though we were created out of love in the image and likeness of God, we are continuously assaulted by the darkness of our inner life and our passions. And into this world came our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And yesterday we celebrated the Nativity of the Most Holy Mother of God. And it's a very beautiful feast, actually, and one that exalts our humanity. And here we have the children of Israel awaiting salvation, really. Those who were faithful awaited salvation. They awaited a solution to the fall. They awaited the reception of the grace of God sufficient so that they could govern their lives again according to God's will. And God, having mercy upon them, chose this time to bring forth our Savior. But there's a preface to it. And the preface has to do with Joachim and Anna. And Joachim and Anna were of great age. They had been married actually 50 years. They were probably in 70-ish. And they were without child. And in Jewish culture, being without child, particularly at that time, was considered to be a sign of one's personal sin and one's own unrighteousness. And they, on the other hand, were very, very pious. In fact, Joachim and Anna, they were well-to-do, they had flocks, and they gave one-third of all that they received to the temple, and they gave a second-third to the poor, and then lived upon the third that was left. And they continuously were in prayer and continuously beseeching God for salvation and for mercies upon them. And it came to a time where Joachim went to the temple to offer sacrifice, and his sacrifice was rejected by the priest of that time because they were childless, and being childless was considered to be a sin by the Jews of that period, and his sacrifice was rejected. And of course, after a life of 70 years of profound piety and almsgiving and generosity and love toward others, Joachim and Anna were in great despair. And so Joachim went out into the mountains, and he brought some of his flocks with him, and he went out to pray. And he prayed unceasingly throughout the night and the day, tending his flocks. And little by little, God came to him, and it was revealed to him that he should return to Anna, his wife, and that they should come together and they would conceive a child who would be part of a plan of salvation. And so it is that Joachim came from the mountain in his deep meditation. He came to Anna, and they conceived this beautiful child, the Most Holy Mother of God. And in their joy and their understanding that certainly at their age to conceive a child was simply a profound miracle, and that this profound miracle was a sign to them that their daughter should be dedicated to the service of the Holy Temple and then to the things of God. And so when Mary was 3 years old, they brought her to the temple. And the temple had a little convent on the side, and she went there and prayed with the other virgins, and she received angelic visitations. She participated from manna from heaven, the rock of the angels to her, and she was made holy. Now the question is, why did this have to precede the incarnation? And of course, the answer is very simple. God is an all-consuming fire. What that means is that if we should enter into the presence of God without an awareness of who He is, and also without sanctification or purification, we will be consumed by the light of God, and it would bring about immediate repose. And this is the nature, the difference between God on the one hand and man in his fallen capacity on the other. And so it is that in order for God to become incarnate in our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, He had to have a vessel who was purified. And the Virgin Mary, of course, was chosen for this purpose, dedicated by Joachim and Anna, nurtured in the temple through grace and the love of God. And so she was prepared. And we know that later on, when she was of age, the Archangel Gabriel came to her and announced that she would conceive the Son of God. And she at first doubted, but then said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word, O Lord." And she conceived our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, who is perfect God and perfect man. And in Him, our fallen nature and that which is divine, which has been given to us, can be brought together in a unity, so that we can become like our Lord, become like God. Participate in his glory. And brothers and sisters in Christ our God, this feast, of course, is very, very beautiful. And one of the things I think it does for us is it raises up our hearts and minds to possibility. What is possible for us? Can we rise out of our condition of despair, let's say, and grief? Or a condition where we feel as though so many of us and so many around us are just slaves to the passions. And can we rise up out of this? And of course the answer is yes, we can. Through the grace and love of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And what's amazing, I think, about the way our Savior has brought about salvation is that He has restored, in a sense, the dignity of humankind. And you think, here we are, we have this virgin who then becomes the vessel, as it were, the birth of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And you think, well, what does this say about the potential for men and women in society today? And what it says is that we also can be sanctified and made pure. Made holy. And this is why our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ gave us the Holy Church, which is His body, that we could live in the body of Christ and that we could partake of His glory through Holy Communion. And we could confess our sins and realize that we didn't just say these words in a vacuum, but we have said them in the presence of God, and that God in His infinite love and mercy breathes upon us the power of the Holy Spirit and cleanses our hearts and minds. For what reason? Well, first of all, to free us from darkness. And second of all, to prepare us to receive the holy mystery of His body and blood, that we may be deified. And then, of course, we look at our lives and we think, how is this possible? We're so burdened. We're burdened by work, we're burdened by finances, we're burdened by health issues, we're burdened by disintegration of the society and the disintegration of morality and so on around us, and here we are. And yet, in the midst of all of the darkness that is around us, we can come to the awareness and unite ourselves to our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we, each and every day, rise up in the morning, give glory to God, and pray to Him, and ask Him to guide us. And the mystery of God's guidance, of course, is a great eternal mystery. Can you imagine that it's actually true? That if we dispose ourselves and prepare ourselves, and we pray to Him diligently throughout our lives, He will take us by the hand, just as though we're a little child, and lead us through the many circumstances of our lives, some of which are going to be positive and very glorious, and some of which are going to be great burdens and great weights upon us. But nevertheless, with one end in mind, and that end is that we enter into union with our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, that the image of God might be restored within us. And so let us this day go forth, partake, of course, of those who can, of the mystery of the body and blood of Christ, and go forth with the light of God in our hearts, and take this light and use it diligently. Use it in the sense of for prayer and for love of one another, and for kindness and for sympathy and so on. And as we take the gift and use it as Christ would use it, ministering to those that are close to us and those around us, so then we receive the gift. And that really, I think, is the mystery, is that in order to receive the gift fully, we have to use it for the ministry of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And may we all receive His love and His grace this day and partake of it. And may it renew us in faith, and may it sanctify us a little each day, that we will come to the knowledge and to the vision of the light of Christ, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.